Hello, welcome to Hope Church Harrogate's Message of the Week. If you'd like to connect with us, please head over to hopeharrogate.co.uk/connect. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, so I've got the reading for this morning before Rachel comes. It is not on the screen this morning. If you wish to turn to it in your Bibles, it is 1 Corinthians 7. Verses 8 and 9, and then 25 to 40. Or you can just sit and actually receive the words and just let them linger over you. So that was 1 Corinthians 7, 8 to 9, and 25 to 40. Now, to the married and widows, I say this: it is good for them to remain unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now about virgins. I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of the present crisis, I think that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you pledged to a woman? Do not seek to be released. Are you free from such a commitment? Do not look for a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life, and I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not, those who mourn as if they did not, those who are happy as if they are not, those who buy something as if they were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them, for this world in its present form is passing away. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably toward the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord. In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is, and I think that I too have the Spirit of God.
Thank you. I love 1 Corinthians because you always finish a section and go, "What was that? What was that all about?" So in this situation, Paul was excited, okay? He was excited. Jesus is this amazing thing. The gospel is here. People need Jesus. Let's go. Come on, people. Don't just sit in your happy little, you know, relaxed, you know, little bubble of life. We need to get going on this thing. Time is short, and Jesus is coming. Let's go. And he was really excited. And so he was in a particular time period looking at persecution and feeling a desperation for Jesus. And he was so excited to get people running the race that God has called them to. And he wanted to address this whole situation of marriage and not marriage. At the time, it was completely expected that getting married was the absolute plan for you. You were born, you grew up, you got married, you had kids, it was the thing. There was one pathway, and that was usually marriage. And so talking about singleness as a choice and choosing not to for the sake of the kingdom was completely countercultural. It was completely different. And now we feel like we're in a more enlightened time, you know, except I would suggest that we are surrounded by a lot of narratives that place marriage over singleness in the same way that 2,000 years ago it was also saying. For instance, this person. Well, slang. Isn't it a great title for a thing? Who are those people? Anybody? And? Oh, holy, wow. That was... And Eric, Ariel and Eric, classic love story, Little Mermaid, new version. Everyone happy with the new version? That's a whole nother concept. I think she's amazing. Let's see, what other stories are we surrounded by about this kind of stuff? Who's next? Tim's making it, stringing it out. Who's next, Tim? Who are they? And I feel like we're now have a little justice issue about no one remembering the man's name. Right, we'll get there. Right, we've got Anna and Kristoff. Who else do we have? Who are those? Rapunzel and Flynn Rider. Now, for those of us who are older, I think I have this for us. Oh, if you can't name those people, we cannot be friends. That is Wesley and Buttercup. And if you have not watched Princess Bride, there was a whole thing going on from the 80s. You've never heard of them. It's not an American thing. Americans save, anyways. Princess Buttercup and Wesley, classic. No, it was not Princess Wesley. That's a whole nother story. Next one. T'Challa. Come on now. T'Challa and Nakia. Right. Anyways, we've got stories, and we've got stories, and we've got stories. Can I see the next slide? We could go on forever. We've got stories, right? There are endless amounts of romantic stories that we surround our children with, that we surround ourselves with. There is this narrative, you're born, you're raised, you find a wonderful person, and you get married. And there's this prevalence of this idea of marriage, and this continues into Christian world. I just looked on some Christian websites. And we've got happy married Christian people, and we are surrounded by happy married Christian people on things, sorry, with teeth whitening. Not all of them. Some of them have nice soft smiles. Look at that couple who just love laying on their couch and reading their Bible together. There is this, and Liz, you can take it down. We don't need to chew on them. There are endless stories of this whole, you grow up, you get married, and that's the best Christian thing ever. And I think it can be overwhelming, and it has warped our view of the power of singleness and the equality of singleness in Christian life. Paul here was making a really strong case that said, yes, marriage is great, fantastic, go for it. But also, singleness is powerful and purposeful, and go for it because it helps you run for the kingdom. In this passage, Paul is challenging the whole marriage is the most important thing. And Jesus did as well. Paul's not the only one. Jesus talked about, yes, how marriage is really important, but Jesus also talked about people who were single by choice and single not by choice, and the significance of them in the kingdom as well. Who was the most powerful, purposeful person on the planet in the history of ever? Jesus. He was this wonderful summary of what it was like to have life to the full. And he came, he said specifically, to give us life to the full. And was he single or married? Single. He came to show us what is possible for a human being to have, and not once did he say that marriage was a requirement for living life to the full. I think that he valued marriage absolutely. He talked about it, yes. But there is something that is really exciting about the gospel and what we are called to. In Hebrews, the author talks about running a race. If you could show me Hebrews. And Paul talks a lot about running a race too. The race thing is big. And he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The author of Hebrews is saying, life is not about finding your nice little comfortable bubble and following the culture that tells you go ahead and just get married and that's the pinnacle of everything. It's about running the race that is before you with your eyes set on Jesus. In the next slide, when we go back to 1 Corinthians, that's exactly what Paul is saying. He's like, I'd like to free you from concern. This whole thing is about fling off the stuff that's going to hold you back because I want you to run. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world and how he can please his wife. It's the burden that all men share, how to please your wife, evidently. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of the world and how he can please her husband. He was illustrating that, yeah, marriage is great. But it also means you got to consider other things besides just running. And he wanted to say it's okay to do both. Absolutely, marriage is a beautiful and specific calling. But also, if you don't want to do it, or if you're not in a position that that is an option right now, or if you just want to say, yeah, I want to run, singleness is an awesome option, an awesome thing. I don't know if it's the next slide. It's the singleness is, there's two statements. Singleness isn't a waiting room. It is a way to run with purpose and power with unique opportunities and challenges. And marriage isn't an end point. It is a way to run with purpose and power with unique opportunities and challenges. We're all on the same race. And you just choose how you run it. It's sort of like this. I need some people to help. I need two people who are fast at running. Pete, and yes, Pete, and yes, come on forward, yes, here we go, right, excellent, you stand here next to each other. I need two people who, Catherine, would you mind coming, would you mind bringing your mother? Right, come too, right, I also need another group of two. You guys are just not volunteering, and therefore Luca volunteered himself and his mother. Come on up, Luca, well done, right? And I need a whole family. Yes, come on forward, here we go, nice. You can bring yourself and anybody else who wants to. Okay, now, what I'd like for you to do is this. You're two people, you are two single people. Where's the other one? You're just running by yourself, you have to. Oh, fine, getting shoes on. Right, the two people who are running together, I'd like you to go back to back. And I'd like you to hook your arms. I'd like you two to hook your arms. And I'd like you to form a pod of four all linked together in a circle. You can do face front or face backwards. Please all start at the starting line. This is the starting line. This is the starting line. You might want to move before you adjust, but you do whatever you need to. We're going to start over here. You have to be back to back. Side by side is lazy. Right, not you two. You get to run free and unencumbered. Right. What you're going to do is run this way. You are going to touch these chairs. I'm going to move the table, don't worry. You will then run all the way back to me. Single people are running unencumbered. Twos are running back to back. The family is one big unit. Pay very close attention to how everyone's attention is. On your marks, no shoving or elbowing people. On your marks, get set, go. Go, 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 go. Nice, nice, nice. Good, fine. Oh, we're finding our pace, Oh, nice, adjustment. I like how you're just dragging them. It's good, nice, just get them there. Good, go all the way back. Skip, I think you can get a whole little sachet thing going. Yes, nice. All the way. You got it. Nice. Keep it in your brain. You may sit down. Let's give them an applause. They were all on the same race, but they ran it differently based on the needs of the group of people they had. Does that make sense? The the single people, whoosh, whoosh, back and forth, but they needed our encouragement and us seeing them and knowing them. The people who were paired together had to find their pace with each other. They had to figure out how each other was running. The family had to figure out who was going forward and who was being dragged backwards with grace. They were considering each other, but they were all on the same race, and they were all doing it together with joy, and they were all encouraging each other in it. And I'm really, really, really think that as a church, we have gotten this wrong for a very long time. Because singleness isn't a waiting room to one day get married and finally get to run your race. You are running your race, and you have freedom and opportunities and challenges that other people don't have. Everyone's on their own race. And when you're married, you have your own unique challenges and opportunities. And so let us run the race now that we have today. And one day you may choose to link up, and one day, you know, life may take over and you may not be linked to who you have through loss, through widowhood, and you're finding yourself running the race on your own. And we live together running the races side by side. We are equal in this. Each one of us is a whole person living life to the full. We are not half people until we get married. May I see the next slide? This is Mother Teresa. Do people know who Mother Teresa is? Mother Teresa was an amazing humanitarian, won the Nobel Peace Prize. She ran missions in India, ministering to the so-called untouchables of India. She was an amazing, powerful woman. She was also a nun, and not once do we look at her and go, if only she could find her husband, she could really do something. Do you know what I mean? She was doing what God called her to in the situation God has called her to, and for her it was singleness, and she ran the race in front of her. This guy seemed to somehow, that's Jesus, by the way, from The Chosen, the best Jesus. He did what he was called to do in a single life and showed us how to live life to the full. And so I feel like as a church, we haven't done this well. There are other traditions that do it really well. The Catholic tradition has a way of you being a single person and saying, this is me for a lifetime, I commit to it, and people surround you and cheer you on. There's a way of entering it as a vocation, and we don't have that tradition, but I really want to encourage us to do that, to look at each other and say, the race you are running now, I support you in and I encourage you in. And I want to repent of any time that I have made people who are living a single life not feel as equal and powerful and purposeful as you are called to be in this community. I think we as families need to get better at not having our own little castles. If you're a married couple with a family, often we isolate ourselves from each other. And I think if we are going to live in a community of people who are single and married and in all sorts of individual pathways, we need to be better at welcoming each other into each other's lives. And saying we want to be called to walk love and family with you, inviting us each other into our homes and benefiting from each other's callings. So much of my life has been blessed by single Christians. I learned how to preach from a single woman who taught me how to walk a calling with power and significance. I have benefited over and over again from the ministry of those in a single lifestyle, and I've learned so much about who I am from them. And I've learned from married couples, and it is the body of Christ all running side by side together. We've got to begin to look at people who are in a single lifestyle right now and not assume that their inevitable trajectory is a happy marriage where they finally get fulfilled, but to celebrate the calling they have today and tomorrow and the next day. Does that make sense? We are equals, side by side, running. And sometimes we're linked up, and sometimes we're running as a single person, and all of us are running with our eyes fixed on Jesus. That is the call. And so, as we talk about the future of our children, maybe it's not when you get married, but if you choose to, as we talk about our lives, let's not postpone what God has called us to until we get a partner, but let us say, who am I called to be today? Because each one of us are whole people, living the fullness of life in Christ, and sometimes linked up to another that we are called to focus on and pour into. But all of us are running the race side by side. We wanted to call it slaying the idol of marriage because we don't want it to be the Christian life being about being the happy people with the nice teeth. The Christian life is being focused on Christ and running in whatever situation you're in, and you may choose a different path But it's all on the same journey towards Christ. And so I just want to pray for those of those who are single in this room. I'm not going to make you stand up or self-declare. I just wanted to pray for boldness for all of us, but I wanted to start with singles. And then I just want to pray for us married, and just as a family, that we may run alongside each other well in equalness. Let's pray. God, I thank you for those in our community who are single. I thank you of the whole life that you have given them, that they are living, that you have called them to live life to the full in the way that Jesus showed. I pray that you would pour your blessing and your power and your purpose upon them. I pray that you would open their eyes and their minds and their hearts to the unique opportunities that you have given them in this season of their lives, that they would experience the freedom of choice, that you would whisper to them of the unique calling you have placed in their hands. I pray that you would surround them with friendships and families, that they may be linked in connection and love. And I pray that you would empower them every day to live their calling on this earth. I pray that you would raise their eyes to you, that they may run it with passion and strength. And I pray the unique challenges that come with singleness, that you would whisper to them and speak to them and comfort them and call them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And I pray for those who are married. Lord, I thank you for the unique way that you've called them in purpose and power to run the race that you have set before them. I pray that you would help them as they look to each other and pour their life out for each other and focus on the calling that you have placed before them, that you would bless their marriages, and I pray that you would teach them how to open their homes, that the blessing of the family may be inclusive to those around, to the singles, to the other families, to those that they may use the unique opportunities and challenges that they have to create family across the way. God, I pray that you teach us to be the body of Christ, side by side, equal in running, that whatever path our feet are on, we would experience the power and purpose of this season. Lord, help us run with the opportunities. I pray that you would hold us in the challenges, that we may side by side see you more and see your kingdom come on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.